Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
This morning, as I said, it is Pentecost Sunday. Does anybody know what Pentecost means? Now, a lot of people say, well, that's what the Pentecostal churches are all about, is Pentecost. Actually, you know, don't you? It means 50 days after. It's 50 days after Passover is Pentecost. And you probably already are aware of this, but just about every major event in Christianity happened on a major Jewish holiday. And so we have what we call Resurrection Sunday, or historically has been called Easter Sunday, happens at the Feast of Passover. And then we have the coming of the Holy Spirit of God that happens 50 days later on Pentecost. Amen? And so I wanted to talk about the celebration of Pentecost because there is so much misunderstanding in the church today. Now, remember, last week we talked about the time when Jesus is accepting the apostles back after they have kind of deserted him, and they've decided, well, yeah, it was nice working with Jesus for a while, and seeing the miracles and all that, but now we're going back to fishing, and Peter and some of the guys go off fishing, and we see that wonderful experience where Jesus accepted Peter back after Peter had denied Jesus three times, and three times Jesus asks Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And as we saw last week, Jesus was saying, "Peter, do you love me with that God kind of love?" And Peter would respond, "Jesus, you know that I love you with that phileo, that brotherly love kind of love." And finally, Jesus said, "Then, Peter, do you love me with a brother's kind of love?" And Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." And that is such an encouragement to all of us, because I believe that each of us, at one time or another, in some way in our lives, we failed the Lord. And I would say our enemy, the devil, would try to remind us of our failures, but I think it's more or less ourselves, unable to forgive ourselves of our past failures. And in the same way, Jesus wants to remind us this morning that when we come to Him and ask for forgiveness, if we confess our sins, the Word of God says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days, and at the end of 40 days we have the ascension back up into heaven, and then the disciples were told to wait. You wait until after you receive power. And so they were waiting, and we begin in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place." And so the disciples had been obedient to Jesus. They were all together in that one place. They were waiting for whatever. I mean, Jesus was kind of ambiguous. Wait until you receive power. What does that mean? We have a healthy breakfast and all of a sudden we feel full of energy and we're ready to go out and start living for Jesus. It was kind of an ambiguous command that Jesus had given, and yet the disciples were willing to say, we have messed up so many times. We have failed the Lord so many times that this time we're not going to try to figure it out on our own. If Jesus says you wait until power comes upon you, then we're going to wait until power comes upon them. And they waited 10 days. And I'm just curious how many of us, had we been with the disciples in that upper room, would have waited 10 days. Amen? I mean, you wait a day and nothing happens, and 2 or 3 days and nothing happens, and you're waiting a few more days. And how many would have waited the full 10 days? But there were so many that did. And it says in verse 2, "And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as if of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance." And I want you to see that this was a very special gift that God had given the church. Because these tongues were actual languages that were being spoken at that time in the world. But these ignorant, uneducated disciples would have no knowledge of these languages. It would be like me trying to speak Russian. You know, I know "niet," and that's it. You know, it just doesn't work. I mean, you know, I guess our second language around here is Spanish, and I don't even do that very well. I told you the story when I was in Venezuela, and I was trying to get some Venezuelan currency to bring home, and I don't know anything in Spanish except dinero. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And so I stand in line, and I'm finally up in the front of the line, and I hold up a $20 bill and I say, "American dinero para Venezuelan dinero." And by the way, they do not call Venezuela Venezuela. It's Bolivia. All right? And they're not Venezuelan dineros, it's bolivars. Kind of like a boulevard. And so, you know, here this the clerk behind the cage, you know, responded in about really the only way you could expect, "Huh?" And so they went and got the head teller, and I went through my whole scene again, American dinero para Venezuelan dinero, which the only thing they were understanding was dinero, all right? And so the head teller, you know, responded the only way he could, "Huh?" And so shortly I found myself in the president of the bank office, standing in front of his desk. Again, doing my, now what has become known as my stand-up comedy routine, American dinero, you know, and everybody's just laughing their behinds off by this point, para Venezuelan dinero. And finally, somebody saw the light bulb go off, and they ran out, and they had this piece of paper taped to the glass for the day, the transaction amount for American dollars and bolivars, all right, what they were trading for. And he brought that back in. I said, "Yeah, see, that's it. American dinero for a bolivar, okay." And so they finally gave the stupid American his $20 worth of bolivars and sent him on his way. But, you know, I just, you know, when it comes to Spanish, that's not my language. And yet here are these disciples, and they are given languages that I can guarantee you they have never heard before, let alone understood. And as they go out onto the street, they began to speak, and as they began to speak, the only thing they could think of was, "I have to lift up and glorify the name of Jesus." And as they were standing out on the street and they were glorifying the name of Jesus, you had all of these pilgrims from all the different areas of the civilized world at that point who have come back to Jerusalem because Pentecost was a holy day. And so you had the pilgrims, the religious pilgrims, back there to celebrate the holy day. And they're saying, "How is it that you've got these Galileans here that are known for, you know, not being highly educated, and they're all speaking eloquently in our language? How is this happening?" And the Bible tells us how Peter got up and he began to testify, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God has raised up as the Messiah." And it says in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, "So then those who had received His word were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls." In one event, in one manifestation of the power of God, there were 3,000 souls added. Now, there are a lot of churches that would get a hold of this and say, "Oh, it's obvious that we all need to be speaking in these other tongues, other languages." And that's not what God is trying to show us here. What He's trying to show us is that the miraculous verifies the message. When God performs a miracle, it's not so that we can say, I just received my healing, or I just received, I won the lottery, or you know, whatever that good thing is that you want to attribute to God. It's not so that you can then say, "Oh, I just feel so good. Thank you, God, for letting me feel so good." When God does something miraculous in our lives, it is so that the message that we bring has validity. And so here are all of these people who see this miracle, these uneducated men proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own languages eloquently, and they said, "You know what? I think I'll stop and listen. I think I'll just spend a few minutes and listen to this Peter fellow over here and see what he has to say." And when they did that, they understood that Jesus Christ was their long-awaited Messiah. And they accepted Jesus, and they were baptized that day, 3,000. And keep in mind, in the Eastern religions, in the Eastern culture, no religious decision that you make has any bearing until you get baptized. Okay? When we go into India and we're working with the Dalits, or the lower caste, lowest caste in India, and they come forward and they accept Jesus as their Savior. Is that better now? I'm perfect. Of course I'm perfect. How many of you knew that pastor was perfect? How many of you know that the Word of God says that I am perfect? Okay, He has made us perfect in Him. My outward actions may not manifest that, but when God looks at us, He sees us washed in the blood of His Son. Amen? Praise God. And so what we see now was these Dalits, these Hindus. How many of you remember how many gods the Hindus have? 1.2 million. Okay, so they've got a lot. You have your major deities, and then you have all these minor deities. And so for them, one more god named Jesus is no big deal. All right, so it's easy to get a Hindu to accept Jesus. But when you take him down to the river to baptize him as his testimony to the rest of the community, "I am no longer following these other gods, but I have chosen to follow Jesus," that's when you know that their salvation experience is real. Because they're going to lose all their friends, they're going to lose all their family, they're going to lose their job, they're going to lose everything because they have chosen Jesus. Amen? And so getting back to what we're seeing here, is that when God does something supernatural, it verifies the message. And so I want each of us not to be satisfied with an average life. We are the blood-bought children of God. Our lives should exhibit something other than the mediocre. Amen? There should be something special that people see in us, and when they see that something special in us, then just maybe they'll be willing to stop and hear the message of Jesus Christ. Now, I told you yesterday that we had the meeting, or this big evaluation, and people were asking me, "Well, how do you think you did?" And I was saying, "Well, I think we did outstandingly. And outstanding is the best grade that you can get in the military. But unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to show the examiners all the things that we could do. I only had a chance to show him these are the things that we are doing, and there's a checklist there, and he checks them all off. And so if all he sees as my work as a chaplain is that I'm simply doing the minimum required, what kind of a grade do you think I'll get? A satisfactory, a C. All right? I'm not a C person. I'm not a satisfactory person. I want to get either an excellent or an outstanding. But for me to get that grade, he's going to have to see something special. And maybe enough happened yesterday that the evaluator was able to see something special. But it's the same way in our Christian walks. When people look at you, what do they see? Just another person walking down the hallway. Got my little scooter out, my walker out, I'm going down the hallway. Is that what they see? Is that all they say when somebody says, how about Bob? Oh, which Bob? Well, Bob Greaves, all right? Well, yeah, I see him in the hallway from time to time. Well, what about him? Well, he usually has a smile on his face and sometimes he doesn't. You know, if that's all they see of us, then why should they want to be like us? Amen? But if they see, wow, did you hear that testimony that Bob had, or that testimony that, you know, whomever else had of the wonderful thing that God did in their life, and how they were so blessed and how they're enjoying God's blessings in their lives, then all of a sudden maybe they're more willing to listen to us when we say, can I take just a moment to tell you about the love of God? Amen? And so just like in the second chapter of Acts, it is today. The miracles of God verify the message. All right? We all have a message. We all have a message. But what do we do? What has God done? What are we allowing God to do in our lives so that people can see the something special? We prayed for Joy's grandson, who was told he can't throw a ball anymore. And now she stands up and gives the testimony that he threw three scoreless innings. All right? What does that mean to us? Oh, well, good. We're glad for little Jacob. Jacob has visited here once or twice, and some of us remember what Jacob looks like. But, you know, but if it's Joy, that means a whole bunch to Joy. And when she begins to share that with people around her, he was told he couldn't pitch anymore. And we prayed, and God heard our prayer, and Jacob was able to stand up and do this. You see, it's the miraculous things that God does in our lives, that others see in our lives, that then motivates them to listen to us. We have something to say. We're just not the crazy person. We're just not somebody who has to talk to everybody. We're somebody that they want to listen to because they see something happening in our lives. Amen? Amen. We, Terry and I and Joy and Jesse went to a meeting the other night, a couple weeks ago, and this guy was there who is doing this particular business opportunity, and he makes a whole $500,000 a month doing this. Okay? Now, when he says he's going to have a meeting, how many of you know that the room is packed? Okay? Wall to wall. Now, when I get up and I say, I'm going to have a meeting, you know, then we get 24 people that show up, okay? Well, when we're in India, we have thousands, yes. But here, that's just Brother Dale, you know, and we'll put up with him for about 45 minutes or so, and then we all have to go home. But when this other guy stands up and people say, man, he makes six or he makes $6 million a year on this job doing nothing. Now, he's built it up and this is just what he's doing. The room is filled. Why? Because there is something supernatural that has happened in his life and people want to come and listen to him. And he doesn't talk as good as I do. He just gets up there and says, well, we did this, we did that, and did that, and everybody's just all excited. Why? Because they have seen the miraculous in his life. Now they want to listen. In the same way, and I'm not saying all of you have to go out and start making millions of dollars for people to listen to. All you have to do is let people know the wonderful things that God is doing in your life every day. And then that wonderful touch of God in your life will then open up the door for them, to others, to listen to your message. As a matter of fact, in sign language, do you know how we sign miracle? Okay. Well, there's this is going to be in American sign language, not signing exact language, but we say, this is wonderful. Wonderful. Also, a miracle. See, we use the same word for wonderful as a miracle. So when God does something wonderful in your life, what is that? Because He did it, it's a miracle. Amen? And that you can share, and then people will want to listen about the Jesus that you have in your heart.
Father, morning comes another day, time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make, how will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road, sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows, will you choose to stand or fall? And just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. Lie down to rest your mind, here comes the rain, yeah, welcome to the giant.